So if you get the prepare your heart that goes out, kind of prepares us for where we're going to go in the morning, Sunday morning, Lord's Day, you see we're not in Matthew this morning. Though I'm going to be in Matthew. We're going to quote a text from Matthew. But it usually says there were things going during my week, and I was like, all right, we're going to shift gears here and do something that I've thought through, maybe have written on a little bit, and can put it together for this week. So I'm going to talk about actually a theme that actually came out in one of our songs. I never really thought about it before. It talked about the resurrected king is resurrecting me. That kind of jumped out to me. Look at it. It's not a future participle. It's not like is, you know, in the future will one day be resurrecting me. It's like a present tense participle, which is kind of interesting. If you are in Christ, you have been resurrected right now to new life. Resurrected now to new life, and you will one day be resurrected. This is in between. He is resurrecting you. This is talking about what we're going to talk about this morning, I think, in the area of sanctification. Our growing in Christ, our being conformed to his image. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Present tense, participle, resurrecting. Let me begin with a quote this morning. I get this from Joel Beakey, Paul Smalley, their volume one of their new systematic theology. It's not even fully written yet. There's two volumes out and two more coming, but it's been fun to read. Anyway, they say this. Listen to this. As Christ's messages to the seven churches in Asia show, the seven churches in Asia. Realize they're talking about the beginning of the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3, letter to the seven churches, right? As Christ's messages to the seven churches in Asia show, the Lord does not look for outward wealth and visible success in his churches so much as love. Love, like loving one another in the body of Christ. Purity of doctrine, believing his word, not making stuff up. Believing his word, and the last is, and holiness of life. And holiness of life. Love, purity of doctrine, holiness of life. That's where we're going to park on that third one. Holiness of life. And holiness, of course, comes from our being in union with Christ at salvation through faith in him, of course, so that we stand, as we talk about many times, we stand forgiven in Christ and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, we are holy positionally before the Father. We stand holy in the righteousness of Christ. But after this, church, where we are right now, while we're on planet Earth still, after we come to saving faith in Christ, then begins what's called, theologically, progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. And the 50-cent term, all this is God's progressive, his gradual, his ongoing practical work of conforming believers, you and I, hopefully, believers, into the likeness of Christ. We've professed Christ as Savior, and then God begins a process. If you're a genuine Christian, he begins a genuine, ongoing process of conforming you practically to the image of Christ. And this goes over your whole life. You don't arrive. You don't arrive. If you're still here, you've not arrived, right? None of us have arrived. But we have this ongoing process. You should see growth in your life in Christ over the years. And this is often painful painful, self-denying, hard work. This is not easy. If you think it's easy, you've maybe not experienced it. This is hard work. This is why in Ephesians 6, the Bible describes it as a spiritual battle. This is what we're facing right now. It's an ongoing spiritual battle where we're wrestling, if you take Ephesians seriously, Ephesians 6, we're wrestling with like actual demons. Like there's an actual resistance opposing God's people. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it describes the same kind of thing in terms of our, yours and mine, if you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, right? Our fallen nature, the old man, as the Bible talks about, this ongoing fight between the old man and the Holy Spirit indwelling us and vice versa. It goes back and forth. So growth in holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. And it's a war. It's a war. It's a battle. This is not easy. This is not easy. And this morning, I want to talk about an aspect of this war. I talked about one element of sanctification. I was looking at my notes like a couple of years ago. I talked about evaluating ourselves, you know, kind of like judging ourselves, looking at ourselves and how to see where we are. This morning, I want to talk about another aspect of sanctification, and that is the battle for our minds, the battle for our hearts. I'm talking about the inner man, the inner musings that go on in the core of your being, who you really are, like inside, not necessarily what you present to everybody, but what's internal. I want to talk about the internal man and what we allow ourselves to like ponder, muse upon, to think upon. And Christians, right, yours and my thoughts, right, they're either godly thoughts, right? We're either using our mind for godly thoughts or it's an ungodly, we end up dabbling in an ungodly misuse of our minds. And this whole concept is so important. It is so important because Jesus himself, he says that sin begins here. With the Old Testament, we talk about like our hearts, right? Which it's talking about the inner man, the musings of the inner person, the man, the woman. What's going on inside of you, what you ponder. Jesus says sin begins there. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And that's why we gotta look at that and not neglect it as Christians. Look at what Jesus says here. We've looked at this before. We're gonna go beyond it, but I want to remind you of this. Matthew 15, 18 and 19, Jesus said this. He says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from," what? Oh, you can't even see it. I'll tell you. There it is. "The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." They come from the inner person. What's going on inside you? And those defile a man. That it's what comes from inside. That's what defiles a man. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts." This is what we end up pondering, right? Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. The next verse says, once again, these defile the person. This is what defiles the person. And note that sin comes from the heart. It's not just out here that you have to avoid. It's in here. It starts from the inside and moves out. And the underlying premise is, therefore, we need to be careful as Christians about what we ponder, about what we think about what we muse in our hearts, because as the thoughts go, listen, as your thoughts go, so your actions will follow. May not come out right away, may take a little bit, but as your thoughts go, so your actions will follow. Your mouth will move, your body will act, your actions will fall into place, attitudes will come out of you, and it all goes back to the thoughts. It all goes back to what we allow our, what thoughts we allow to, where we allow our thoughts to go and grow. That's where these things, that's where these actions will come from. For sin begins inside. It begins inside. Let me give you some examples of this, and I'll give you three examples of this. The first one is this. Have any of you ever seen Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? You know what I'm talking about? Almost everybody, right? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I used to watch this when I was a kid. Maybe you let your kids watch it or something. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you remember the whole thing with Trolley. Mr. Rogers had Trolley, and he would come around, and he would go through his wall. Trolley would go through the wall, and they would enter the land of make-believe, right? The land of make-believe. And I remember being a kid watching this and was enchanted by the whole thing. And you might remember the land of make-believe. It had a king. They actually had a monarch ruling the kingdom. His name was King Friday. And he had all these loyal subjects in the land of make-believe. And do you know that as a kid, I actually thought, man, you know what? If I could, I'm talking like when I was eight or something, seven, eight, something like that. I thought, you know, if I could get into the land of make-believe, I could take that place over. Because think about it. King Friday is like 6 inches tall, right? And even as an eight-year-old, I've got at least 3 feet on that guy, right? Or something like that, right? He is a king. King Friday is a monarch with no standing army. None. No posture for defense. Nothing, nothing. If you could break in that place, you could literally take this kingdom over. I would actually think these thoughts when I was a kid. And what about Trolley? You think about Trolley. You know, he would probably try to rush out and tell Mr. Rogers there's been a coup in the kingdom. And you could put a pillow just over the entrance and he couldn't get out. Or take him off the rails. You know, and he can't get out to rain on your parade and all that. And understand, it's not because I didn't like Trolley or anything like that. He could live with me if he wanted, in peace and tranquility and all that. I just didn't want him to rain on my parade and go back and tell Mr. Rogers. So understand, you know, it wasn't personal, it was business. It was just business, okay? So, and you might hear this and say, Dean, that is sick. I can't believe we get you as a pastor or something like that. It's just totally deranged. Well, I didn't actually do it. I just thought about it. I just thought about doing it, right? And it probably also made me a big mouth, bossy little kid. Probably did that as well. For church, listen, that's the way sin works. That's the way it works. It begins, not out here. It's not everyone else, you know, it's just everyone else is the problem. No. It begins in here. It begins inside. It begins with the musings of our minds, where we allow ourselves to go. Let me give you another example. I think I've said this years ago at some point, I think. Maybe I said it at my last church, I don't know. But I think it bears repeating, came back to my mind again this week. I knew of a Christian guy, again, same subject. And of a Christian guy, he's Christian. I worked with him when I was in college, and you know, we had this job together. And Christian guy, whenever the newspaper was lying around, floating around our section, he would always take the singles ads. I know everything's online nowadays, right? But back then it was like newspaper. You wanted to, you know, find a significant other. They had the singles ads in the newspaper. And this guy would always take the singles ads, right? And you know how they go, like, you know, single female looking for single male who likes, you know, axe throwing and skeet shooting or something like that. You're trying to get common interest and so forth. And the trouble, though, with this guy was not, he was not a single male. He was a married male, right? He was a married guy. And if you asked him, if you pinned him down and said, what in the world are you reading the singles ads where he'd say, I just find them interesting. I just find them interesting. But eventually, it was like later that same year, he ended up in a sordid affair. It was a wreck. And of course, he's a Christian, right? So there's no peace in his soul. All of a sudden, it was like David who had been caught, and you can hear him languishing in Psalm 51. I mean, the guy was broken. His family was filled with regret. His family was broken. It was a disaster. It was a total disaster. But and you might say, well, how did something like that happen out of the blue? How could something like that happen? Well, listen, it didn't happen out of the blue. For long before the actual affair occurred, the wheels of the deceitfulness of sin. And that's what sin does. It's always deceitful. It's out to dupe you. So is the devil. Always. Always. It wants you to rationalize where you are. And it's great at it. It's great at it. Listen, in this guy's life, the wheels of the deceitfulness of sin, they were already turning. They were already turning. That's why he was buzzing through the singles ads. But before that, it was already turning in his heart. Understand, before he ever picked up the paper, it was already turning within his heart. That's what was going on. For the enemy, and I'm talking like the actual devil or his minions, demons, right? They were actually encouraging him to fan into flame, like violent flame. So it is unstoppable and it'll, you know, burn things down. They were already encouraging him to take up this cause. But it all started with allowing these sins to take up residence in the heart. Before anyone saw any of it, they were already going on within the heart. Let me give you another example. And this, I guarantee you, it hits closer to home, because there's probably not a soul in here, including myself, who hasn't done this at one point or another. Look at what Jesus says here, verse 19 again. One more example, and we're going to apply some of this stuff. Verse 19. Watch what you boot in your heart, what you boot around your heart, Jesus says, right? For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Your inner man, you start musing on these things. There was a correlation between heart and thoughts, by the way, in the way the Hebraic mind thought about these things. So your heart was like the inner core person. You thought about things there and also in your mind. They are correlated. But it says, out of the heart come these evil thoughts that we muse upon. Murders. And these are things Christians would go, oh, I'd never do that. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. You shouldn't do that as a Christian. Thefts, false witness. Here's the hard one. Slander. Slander. Jesus says these things defile a person. And I think it's interesting how he lays all these things together. So we may put them in a pecking order, you know, and say, well, you know, here's the not so bad ones. Here's the, you know, more, you know, real bad ones. But they're all bad. They're all real bad before the Lord. But I want to talk about this aspect of slander. Slander. Okay. This is left over, like all of these things is left over, church. Understand, from the old life. This is the old person, the old man, the old Adamic nature, right? The fallen nature that still beckons to us, that still beckons to us. But the slander, this one often, unlike the others, more often than not, it finds itself asylum among the people of God. I'm picking out this one because this is a hard one. This is a hard one. And I mean it's hard. I've done it myself. In fact, this week as I thought about it, I thought back to a person at my last church as a pastor that I've wronged in this sense, in the sense of slander, and actually went to the guy and apologized. He was doing the same thing to me, and he apologized too, and we buried the hatchet. But when I was going through this again this week, that whole thing came to mind because it was painful. It was painful, and I confessed it once again to God. I already confessed it to my brother, but I confessed it once again to God, okay? But church, listen, this is how it works. And you could run with all of these sins like this. But let me pick out this one. Listen, this is how it works. Something will get your goat. I know from experience. This is how it goes. Something will get your goat. Has something ever got your goat? If you say no, you're a liar. That's another sin, all right? Listen, at some point, something's going to get your goat. Something's going to get your goat. We're human. This is the metal we're made of. But listen, at some point, something will get your goat. But church, listen, instead of doing what the Bible says, where the Bible says you go to your brother. Did you read these verses? They've been in Matthew. You go to your brother. You reconcile with your brother. You forgive one another. You go. You do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Instead of doing what the Bible says, you know what we do? And I've done it myself. We let the sun go down upon our anger. Now the deceitfulness of sin is working. It's justifying. Well, we're fully validated in doing this. We're fully validated in doing these things, right? And all of a sudden, we let it go down upon our anger. And you know what happens? Anger begins to fester. It begins to fester. And all of a sudden, and you know why it's festering, by the way? Because the enemy, we've already heeded the enemy. We've already heeded the enemy of our souls, right? And already taking up his counsel to lay aside God's command. Because remember what he says, go to your brother. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Go to your brother. But we've already heeded the enemy, and we are laying aside God's commands to reconcile while it's small. While it's a little tiny thing you can hold in your hand. And so all of a sudden, bitterness begins to swell. And you know what that goes into? Right? We're already thinking it. Something gets our goat. We didn't follow through as the Bible said, and now we start to, bitterness begins to swell within us. It begins to swell. And then all of a sudden, that will go into injustice collecting. I've talked about this before. Injustice collecting. This is where you start to keep a mental list of all the ways you've been offended. And you'll start to villainize the other person. You'll make them worse than they actually are. And you start to collect all the ways we've been offended. And maybe through the years, it becomes very historical. Even though the Bible says love does not do this. Remember 1 Corinthians 13:5, where it says love does not keep a record of wrongs. But we'll deceitfulness of sin. And we'll start to ponder it. We'll start to let it go and we'll keep the record. Number three, oh church, then it burst forth from the gates of our mouth. Then it burst forth from it's been gelling there a long time, but then it burst forth from the gates of our mouth to our friends, to our cliques, to our small groups, to the work buddies, whoever. And all of a sudden, if the devil can get us to that place, guaranteed, it will end in a big, ugly rift. Barring incredible grace from God, it will end in a big, ugly rift. I mean, bad blood, not between just the two people that it could have been resolved on, but bad blood with many, many, many folks. It just spirals down. And listen, that's what Jesus calls slander. I'm not making this up. That's what Jesus calls slander. He indicates that long before it went there, out in your circle, out in my circle, long before it went there, it began in the heart. It was nurtured in the heart in the heart. Now, since no Christian this side of heaven has arrived, not you, not me, we mess up, all of us mess up. If you don't think so, wait long enough, you're just too young, and you'll see that you mess up, not just everybody else, okay? All of us mess up, nobody has arrived. Since we are still in process, all of us are still in process, and we're to be resisting sin as Christians. We are to be growing in the likeness, progressively in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since this is so, what should we do? All right, if this is wrong, what should we do? Let me give you three things, again, to match the other three that I just gave. Okay, how about this one? Practical suggestions for honoring Christ. You and me. Practical suggestions. How about this one? Since sin begins in the heart, since it begins in the core of our person, the inner person, the thoughts, the inner workings of the inner man or woman, since it begins in the heart. Listen, we must guard our heart, right? We must guard our heart. You know this verse, Proverbs 4:23. This is like the quintessential example on what I'm just talking about. We need to guard our heart. I think, really, this has bearing on what Jesus said in Matthew 15, right? Solomon says this, watch over your heart with all diligence. Understand, that's not like casual. Diligence is not casual. This is like, look out, really work at doing this. Really do it. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. From your heart flow the springs of life. In other words, from your thoughts, what's going on in here, it comes out. It comes out. It affects your actions. It affects your mouth. It affects all you do. It will affect it all. And so it says, Solomon the wise says, guard it. Guard it. Not out here when it's a mess. Get it here when it's little. Get it inside when it's little. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Listen, do you realize that it is not wrong if a stupid, foolish, ungodly, angry, lustful thought, whatever it happens to be, pops into your mind? Do you know that it's not wrong if that happens to you? It's not wrong if a sinful thought enters your mind. That in and of itself is not wrong. But listen, think about it. The influence of the fallen world that we live in, the influence of the old nature that still beckons to us, it still calls us back to the old life, and the devil himself. Listen, the devil, the Bible says, he tempts us. He can feed you a suggestion. He can feed you a thought. Listen, if the enemy introduces something to you, a thought, he hopes to use it in your life to dishonor Christ. That's his agenda. That's what he wants to do. So listen, if one of these thoughts pops into your mind, it is not wrong. It does not defile you if you toss it out right away. Church, you got to get this part. If, conditional clause, right? If you toss it out right away, if you toss it out from your mind, like right away. But if you say to that lustful thought, listen to me, men in particular, women can do this too, but men, we're more wired like this because this is how our biology works. You know, it's more sight-oriented. Listen, men and women, you can listen, and maybe this applies to you too, but listen, if a lustful thought pops into your mind and you think, you just start thinking, I'm just going to picture it just for a minute. I'm going to roll it in my head just for a minute. You're done. It's already got you. That's the agenda of the enemy. That's the goal. It's trying to move you somewhere. And church, this is where it begins. That's what Jesus said. This is where it begins. Or listen, take that resentfulness, that resentment. And you think, you know what? Like a mother hen, I'm going to sit on those eggs and brood on them. I'm going to brood on those. You got it. You're hooked. You've already taken the bait. Or how about this? You say to that slight, I've been slighted. I feel offended. Who doesn't end up there? Everyone ends up there. I've been slighted by you. You've been slighted by me. Listen, if you say to that slight or that anger that you have felt, pull up a chair and stay a while. Come on in. Let me entertain you a little bit. You're hooked. You've already taken the enemy's bait. You're already moving down his path, okay? And listen, sin wants to take you somewhere. And this is how it begins. The best place to clip this stuff off is right here. At the source. Right at the start. This is the easiest place to get it done before it's a disaster among all your relations and all the people you know. And it's so hard to try to put together because it's trying to take you down a road ultimately to dishonor Christ, understand? To dishonor Christ. Not to just offend somebody else, but to dishonor Christ. That's the agenda. So what do we do? Well, Solomon says, diligently watch your thoughts. Watch. By the way, you can even say guard. Think of like a military soldier. You know, post a guard. Post two. Post seven. It's even better. Guard. Guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Jeremiah Burroughs once said, he's an old guy, okay? I quoted him just recently, a few weeks ago. I like this quote so much that it's on the back of my office door. It's one of the quotes I just like to think about every now and then because I just find it palpable. But Burroughs said this, talking about sin, by the way. He says, I beseech you. He's talking to the church. I beseech you. It's like, I beg you, right? I beseech you to observe this. Take heed forever of reasoning with temptation. Understand, this is the inner working. It's not out here. It's in here. Take heed forever of reasoning with temptation. Listen, if the devil can but get you to reason about it, you ponder it in your heart, you give it place, he has got it half granted already. Cast it off immediately. Thought comes in, push it out. Push it out. You can't, then go seek help. Go reconcile. Go do something. But he says, immediately push it out because sin has no good in it. And then he says this, oh, that God would convince all our hearts of this. All our hearts of this. Let me give you another quote. Another contemporary of Burroughs, Thomas Goodwin. I've quoted him before. Thomas Goodwin is a paraphrase. This is what Goodwin says in his excellent little book. It's called The Vanity of Thoughts. But he says this. This is my paraphrase, right? Listen, if we're careful about who our kids play with, as a parent, have you ever been careful about who your kids play with? Like, maybe somebody's like really bad news and it's like, no, he's not going to be your best friend. You know what I'm talking about? I don't think anybody in here is going, I don't care what you do. Go ahead, kid. I don't care. Go play in the street. Here's some razor blades, right? Listen, if we are careful about who we let our kids play with or who we let lodge in our house, like you probably don't want like a convicted pedophile to lodge in your house. Maybe a serial killer. Yeah, my doors are always open. Listen, if we're careful about who our kids play with, about who we let lodge in our house, then much more you should be careful about what thoughts you play with, about what thoughts you let lodge in your house, Because listen, it's God's. It's God's house. You belong to Him. Don't defile. don't defile. You belong to him. So we need to be careful about what we let dwell in the temple of the Lord. So guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Number two, let me give you another one. Beyond just saying, okay, watch out for bad thoughts. Watch out for bad thoughts. You get that, right? Don't think them. Put them out. Put them out while they're small. Put them out. Put them out while they're small. Let's be more positive with this one. How about this one? Instead of saying this is what you shouldn't think of, how about what you should think of? How about what you and I should think of? How about this one? These are thoughts we should entertain. Colossians 3:16 goes like this. Colossians 3:16, you've heard it before. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As much as you want, think on that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How about this one? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, some of you probably have this memorized. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, well, let me tell you, here's the truth. They're a big jerk. That's the truth. True before the Lord. Honoring before the Lord. Look at what the rest says. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever true before the Lord, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, like before the Lord, we're honoring his word, we're conforming to his word, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, in other words, commendable, admirable, before the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Ponder these things. You want to have like this mental fest and run wild. Here it is. Paul says, think about such things. And church, can you imagine? Can you just imagine if God's people, if the people of God centered our thoughts on these kinds of things, like things, thoughts that would bless God and help his people, that were edifying to his people, that would honor God and bless one another. Can you imagine? I mean, just let your mind go for a little bit. Can you imagine if the musings of our heart were full of, like, you know, love and purity and pity and goodness and giving each other the benefit of the doubt, grace, mercy, being diligent, as Paul says in Ephesians, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, peacemaking, respectful of authority, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, as Paul says, self-control, reconciliation, forgiving one another even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Can you imagine if everyone, 100%, if we did this, can you imagine what marriages would look like? Can you imagine what marriages would look like? Relationships would look like? Church would look like? People you know, people you bump into, family things. Can you imagine what it would look like if we dwelt on these things rather than putting other things in there? If we dwelt on these things, and my point is this. Listen, if evil thoughts, things that the Lord says, don't go this road, don't do this. If evil thoughts fall to the use of the devil, and they do, if they fall to the use of the devil, and they fall to his cause, an evil cause, his agenda, the defilement of ourselves and other people, we spread the rot. We spread the rot. We defile others in all these situations here. And ultimately, it results in the dishonor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's the way evil thoughts work, how much more shall godly thoughts fall to the use of God, the furtherment of his cause, right? And I'm talking like the cause of the Spirit, the sanctification of ourselves and one another. Because it will bleed out too. We will sanctify, right? We'll have a wholesome effect on other people, right? It will work to the sanctification of others and to the great, great honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. The great, great, great honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good, church? And I'm challenging myself and I'm challenging you as well. Wouldn't it be good as a Christian, not to just be sliding by in the Christian life, just kind of sliding by, just getting by, dabbling in things. The Lord says, don't. I'm just going to slide by. Imagine if instead of that, wouldn't it be cool to be like a tool, wholesome tool, fit for the palm of his hand? You know what I'm saying? Fit for his use, as the apostle talks about. Fit. Then we need to be careful. Not only about what we shouldn't think, but what we do think. What we do think. Let me give you one more. And the last one is this. Remember, O church, that God is the audience of all our thoughts. We probably don't think about this enough. I probably don't think about this enough. God is the audience of all our thoughts, yours and mine. Remember in 1 Samuel, God says to Samuel in chapter 16, he says, you know, man looks at the outward, but where does God look? He looks on the heart. That's where God looks. Not just the presentation. You know, the lovely Facebook outside exterior, you know, looks at the heart, the inward. Psalm 139, verse 2, this whole psalm is great. But Psalm 139, verse 2, David is speaking to the Lord. He says, you know, when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my, what? You know my thought from far away. From far off. You know my thoughts. How about this one? Psalm 44, verse 21. The psalmist says, and he's talking about if I commit sin. That's the context. God, if I commit sin, right? If I do this, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Not just the external, but the inward. And church, and I'm saying may the Lord help us all, one and all. May he help us in this, realizing that the Lord is the audience of our thoughts. And let me close with this. Swindoll said this in one of the writings. I can't remember which one, but something he wrote. And he says this, and I think he nails it here. He says, sin does not serve well as a gardener of the soul. And we're going to garden with something. Sin does not serve well as a gardener of the soul. It landscapes the contours of the soul until all that is beautiful has been made ugly. Until all that is high is made low. Until all that is promising is wasted, then life is like a desert, parched, barren. It is drained of purpose. That is noble purpose. It's got another purpose. But it's drained of noble purpose. It is bleached of happiness. Sin, then, is not wise but wasteful. It is not a gate. It is a grave. And O Indian Valley, listen, after we come to faith in Christ, and I bet most in here would say, I've come to faith in Christ. I'm not trusting myself, right? I trust in Christ and him crucified to save me. After that begins God's work of sanctification, where he progressively conforms us to the image of Christ. That's what he is about. That's what he is doing in our lives. And this is often painful. Okay, this is like self-denying, hard work. It does not come easy. And what I'm saying, may the Lord help us. May we make it easier by cooperating with the Spirit of God, with His agenda. What He says in the Bible is His agenda for our lives, one and all. May we make it easier by cooperating with the Lord in this, to grow a good garden of the soul, to the godly impacting of not only ourselves, but of all the lives that intersect with us. Because we don't just impact ourselves, we impact other people who are associated with us, our lives, our home, our work, our church, on and on. To the glory of God. Listen, to the glory of God, that's the goal. It's not about you. I've said that a million times. It's not about me. It's not about you. I want to the glory of Christ. To the glory of Christ. To get there. This is the hard stuff. This is the hard stuff. Do you see? God help us. God help us. One and all with this. And by the way, you're not going to leave today and say, okay, I got it. Nope. The work begins this afternoon. It's the same work tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and as long as you live. This is the thing the Lord is doing, and we're to cooperate with Him. And by the way, listen, I have done this wrong personally in life. And let me tell you how the Lord works. He brings you back to the same thing, and it's usually hard and disastrous and painful, but eventually you learn it. And sometimes painfully. You've heard some of my stories where the Lord, I say, brought me out to the woodshed. And it was not fun. It wasn't fun for me. Wasn't fun for my family. It won't be fun for you either. But we're invited. We're invited to join Him in the process. Let's pray. Oh, Father. Oh, Lord, we are weak. We are weak. We need You, Father. We are easy pickings for the enemy. He can easily run circles around us. And the world, the flesh, and the devil stand against us. They stand against us. But we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And oh, Father, I pray that we would constantly give heed to You. Humble us, Lord, where we need humbling. Help us to look up. Grow us where we need growing. Change us where we need changing. And we all need it. Help one and all, me included. Oh, good Lord, my stuff stares me in the face. Help us, we look to You. May we cooperate with Your Spirit and not do what the Bible warns us about grieving Him, quenching Him in another place, resisting Him in Acts. But may we cooperate. And may we glorify the name of Jesus and bless one another. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.